It was something we had all grown up with as children, we soldiers. It was a ritual of spring, a ball game. I was 22 years old, a medic and a psychiatric technician. I was stationed at an Army hospital in the hills of Pennsylvania, and it was during the Vietnam War. I was sitting in the grass in my white smock and my white pants, leaning back against a 15-foot-high, keep them in here, do not let them out there, chain link fence. The main hospital was behind me across a little base road. That's where the physically wounded soldiers were kept. The soldiers on this ball field and this separate building were the psychologically wounded. They were out in the ball field right now, dressed in their patient blues, black shoes, some polished, some unpolished. Some wore open back white cotton slippers. Most of them were decent ball players, but some of them, it was a little like pre-league, little league ball games, like pee-wee league, when as many patients could go out in the field and stand would go, sit in the grass, play with ants, walk around in a circle. The catatonic stared over the fence into the forest. Marching up and down on the left side of the field and the third base side was a medic that was proof that not all medics were sensitive. He was a self-appointed manager, and he was screaming to the first base, "Hey, first base, catch a damn ball if they throw it to you. Catch the damn ball." On first base was a 6'4" teenager, acne. We called him, the Tex, Cherry Pie Stover. We Tex had nicknames for the soldiers because more seemed to come than go. I had given Cherry Pie Stover, and by the way, that's not his real name. For privacy purposes, I wouldn't tell their real names, but in reality, I do not remember the soldiers' real names. But I remember them. I had given Cherry Pie Stover that nickname. When I had taken him to the mess hall, he had leather restraints the day he came. They took those off. I escorted him across the road to the main mess hall. And we got in that army line at the mess hall, and for some reason, the army put desserts. Desserts were first. And Stover took a cherry pie, a cherry pie, a cherry pie, a cherry pie, and he started, and I said, "Hey." And he looked down at me, and I realized he could have as many damn cherry pies as he wanted. And he did. And I took a blueberry. I don't think there were cherry pies left. On second base, we had a guy called Joker Burkowski. There's always a joker in the classroom and on a ward. Joker Burkowski was a good ball player. And he was out there like this. And he would always say to any batter that came up from the other closed ward, he'd do this pattern. He'd say, "A swing, bada, 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 bada. A swing, bada, 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 bada." Behind him, marching back and forth, was the Lawyer Lucas. Lawyer Lucas would turn immediately when he would say, "Swing, bada, bada, bada." He would say, "Hey, soldier, you don't have to swing. The army can't make you swing. You got rights. You got the Bill of Rights." And he's going back and forth. Now, at shortstop, we had two Puerto Ricans speaking in Spanish as loud as you could hear because one of the Puerto Ricans had given up speaking English and understanding English and was sent there. Fortunately, another Puerto Rican from New York was there, and they're speaking Spanish together. Third base, we had Push-Ups Tabor. Every morning, he would get out of bed, and he would roll to the side and do 100 push-ups and 100 sit-ups. If you were at the ward, you would see his head coming up over like this. Every morning, you'd see him doing them. Behind him, we had a guy named, in the outfield, left field, Mumbling Greer. Mumbling Greer mumbled When he spoke, he talked to himself and he mumbled, and he talked like this. You never understood what Mumbling Greer said. Next to Mumbling Greer, we had Obsessive Godwin. Obsessive Godwin looked like his patient blues had been ironed. He was sitting out there like this, and he'd always put creases in him. Creases, 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 creases. He'd sit down in the grass, and he'd retie his shoes, making sure they're just right. Retying his shoes. Get him. Obsessive Godwin. Center field, we had Paranoid Forenza out there alone, and he's continually going like this. Continually looking around. He would never let somebody back him up out in the field. Continually looking around. In right field, we had two players, one who had the shakes. His foot shook, his hand shook, and he had a tick. And we called him Shaky Metz. Next to him was Bible Skinner. Bible Skinner carried a black Bible with him every day, even into the shower, wrapped in cellophane. Always with him. And right now, if you looked out there, he had that black Bible tucked right in here. You know, it's interesting. He was the one guy who really couldn't play ball. And he was always like this. And I always thought like he was saying, please don't hit the ball to me. Please don't hit the ball to me. You know, we always had that kind of person. So now I'm watching all of this. Our catcher, had been burned. And we know napalm burns. We always had a suspicion it was that. We didn't know for sure. And it ran down his face, down underneath of the collar. I know it's insensitive. They didn't know we called him some of these names, but we text called him Scarface Kelly. The pitcher was smiling hardy from the morning till the evening, till he slept. He smiled. But it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny. And now, over on the side, the other team brings a batter up. And this batter comes up, and I'm telling you, blonde hair, built like this, swinging the bat, and boy, swish, swish. I said to the tech in the grass next to me, I said, you know, this guy looks like a real Mickey Mantle. And all of a sudden, boom, that ball flew right over Shaky Metz, right over Bible Skinner. He took around off bases. He's heading around. He's coming down third. There's only a few of the guys going like this. They're hitting his sign. You know, okay, there it is. Here he's coming. And then something happened very strange and unusual. He started to pick up speed as he came down third baseline. Instead of slowing up when he got to home plate, he was speeding up. He sped. And his legs started pumping, and he started going like this, and he kept running, and we all got quiet. Everyone got quiet. And he ran to the fence. He did not climb the fence. He ran up the fence. Left foot, right foot, left foot, top, flip, down, boom, Olympic landing, and down a road. The only sound you could hear as he went off the back road toward the back gate, I'm serious, the breeze in the trees. That was it. Now I'm going to skip forward 2 hours. 2 hours later, we learned what happened to Mickey Mantle. He ran to the back gate. There were two MPs. When MPs see you run, they will chase you. They chased him. He was injured now. And he was in the main hospital. He would not be coming back to the psych wards. He would go to the stockade. They made an example of people who escaped. You couldn't allow that and have them come right back. But they didn't know that now. We didn't know that now. And the silence was broken by the manager, Tech, when he said, "You prick, come back here!" And that ignited an explosion, a celebration by the soldiers out on the field, everywhere on that field. They began to jump, to shout, to go, yeah, hooray. They were cheering. They were clapping. They ran in circles. They rolled in the grass. They did a dance of freedom. They ran in from the outfield, from the sidelines. They piled onto the pitcher's mound. They were hugging each other. They jumped. They hugged, and then they even did sacks on. They piled on top of each other like they had won the seventh game of the World Series. And they had. So let's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. It's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball.